Welcome back to another session in the Laws of Life. Tonight we're dealing with the Law of Silence. The question is, what is the divine law of silence and how can aspirants best harness it? Now, to be fully effective, I need to now spend an hour in silent meditation and let you just pick the ideas out of my head. But my kindness and compassion for you transcends that ideal, and instead I will talk for an hour about silence, but then leave it to you to practice silence. Where do I begin? The layout is as follows. The starting point is the Seven of Cups upside down. The counterpoint is death, right side up, the 13th card in the Major Arcana. That's a four. The challenge is the Queen of Rods, right side up.
It's upside down.
I'm sorry, did I say right side up? I meant upside down. Mm-hmm. I'm upside down. Queen of Rods is upside down. The purpose is the Page of Pentacles upside down. And the endowment is Justice, the 11th card in the Major Arcana, a 2, is upside down. That is an opportunity for you to observe justice stood on its head. The destiny is Strength, the 8th card of the Major Arcana, right side up. The real question is the Four of Rods upside down, the unseen forces and hidden factors, the Seven of Swords upside down. The spiritual ideal is the Tower right side up, and the culmination is the Ace of Pentacles upside down. And I forgot to mention that the Tower is a 16th card in the Major Arcana. That makes a 7. So there are 3 sevens.
About Strength?
Strength is 8, yeah.
I didn't say that.
Oh. There are 3 sevens, being the Seven of Cups, the Seven of Swords, and the Seven of the Tower, 7 and 16. And there are 2 fours, being the Four of Rods and Death. And so we have some very interesting things here. We have 4 major cards, Death, Justice, Strength, and the Tower. They all basically are right here in the midsection. And we have one sword, 7 of swords. We have 2 rods. And we have 1 cup and 2 pentacles. The upright cards are only 3 of them. They are all major cards, death, strength, and tower. They demonstrate the spiritual forces that are expressed in silence. Justice is upside down. The rest of the cards, the upside down ones, represent the reasons why the law of silence is so important. So we start with the Seven of Cups. And the Seven of Cups is a card of various fantasies and illusions on the astral plane. The fact that it's cups, and it's a card of receptivity. Our personal receptivity. And as long as our cups are filled and overflow with silly, unimportant, inane things like snakes and buttercups and atoms and deep sea divers and stuff like that, all the fluff of the physical plane, we'll never figure out what the real message of life is and what the real essence of life is. And so we must quiet down all the noise. The Seven of Cups represents all the noise of the astral plane, all the noise of the physical plane, everything we consider so very important, like fame and fortune and wealth and all these things that are so very, very, very important to all of us, and in fact freeze our thinking in the physical mode. And we need to be able to take the remote control that we have for TV, but there's a special remote that is operated by the soul. And when we start to violate the law of silence, we need to press the mute button. I'm sure you all have discovered, as we have, that when you're watching some drama on TV, suddenly commercials come on, you can mute it and exercise the law of silence. This is a wonderful analogy for what we need to do in terms of physical life. We need to be able to push the mute button and focus ourselves in the silence of spirit, the silence of the soul. And not just as a form of detachment, we'll get to that, but as a way of controlling our receptivity. Consciousness is a matter of responsiveness. Right now, we are responsive. The average person responds to the news, to commercials. We are easily brainwashed, fall prey to ideologies and theologies. We believe in stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of these are traps. Traps in which we are snared by the noises of life, the noisiness of physical life. And in order to outgrow that and change our perspective, we have to become attuned to the silence within, the inner silence. And this is the law of silence. It's a subset, as some of you may have already discerned. Mary's probably five steps ahead here from her comments after the New Year's forecast. But yes, as several of you have pointed out, there's the tower in the position of spiritual ideal. So there are great similarities between some of what we said then, but also what Mary pointed out was the relationship between the 2013 forecast and the tarot on the law of rhythm. And in fact, the law of silence is a subset or a codicil to, or whatever, the law of rhythm. It exists within that. And silence is merely the means by which we learn to set up rhythm. These various things that fill the cups in the Seven of Cups do not respond to rhythm. They have their own cacophony. They have their own resonance or innate vibration, all of which are distractions. They distract us from purpose. They distract us from meaning. They ensnare us in confusion, and we don't know who we are or what we're doing or the answer to any profound question. So what we have to do is understand that once we get past these distractions, we are then able to cultivate the inner silence of spirit. But it's kind of a spiritual circle here, because until we have learned something about the law of silence, we can't exercise our capacity to hit the mute button. We end up being distracted by silly, unimportant things. We end up being distracted by the most trivial aspects of life, even when we know better, even once we've discovered the well of silence within us. That's not my phrase. That's a phrase that DK uses, the Tibetan uses, the well of silence. And it's the well of silence is the inner quiet, which is very active and is the source, not of rest, but the source of power, wisdom, and opportunity. It comes with a great sense of peace because you are in harmony with the ideal sounds, the ideal keynotes. But it is indeed something that is very active, very powerful. I think you are all familiar with the still small voice of spirit, and the many people refer to meditation as entering into the silence. But the trap of that phrase is that too many people end up thinking that it's just a period of rest. It's just a heaven away from the hubbub of earth. And silence at the spiritual level is so much more. It is the nexus of creativity. If we recall the opening phrases of Genesis and the opening phrases of the book of John, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was coming into the world. So the Word starts everything, but God first enunciates the word, the Om, if you wish, out of silence. All was silent, and then Om, the word emerges. All right. In our own efforts to be creative, to be self-expressive, to be true to the soul, we have to learn the very active, dynamic process of pressing the mute button on all the distractions and all the unrealities of life. So this is what we're talking about here. We recognize that the astral plane and the physical plane are filled with glamour, distractions, and pseudo-realities. Everything seems solid, but it's actually the opposite of real. And so we come to understand that the law of silence is one that we learn that we have an option as to how we use our consciousness. We use it to be conscious of and responsive to the impressions coming from the earth, or we use it to be responsive to and conscious of the impressions coming from spirit. So this is Seven of Cups is a card, the card. It can have positive meanings too, but most of the time that it shows up, it's talking about distractions. That the whole concept of success in the world is one of being good in your distraction. That's the opposite of the concept of success in the level of spirit. But so what this is a card of vanities. Vanity, vanity, thy name is vanity. It comes out of the book of Ecclesiastes. All is vanity. Everything in the world is vanity. It's vain because it doesn't last. It comes and it goes. It cycles through. Silence is the ability to withdraw the seductiveness of vanity and focus in spirit. Silence enables us to overcome and conquer the noise of the world. And so much of what we encounter in the world is noise. The news on every night on whatever channel or website you use is all noise. 99.9% of it is noise. There is a certain amount that you need to know, but most of what they talk about is not just noise, but hysterical noise. The ads on TV are hysterical noise. You got to buy this. You got to have this. You got to do this in order to achieve that. You got to, you know, dozens of different ways to do things that you don't need to do. And the values and principles we grow up embracing, almost all of them noise. Within that context, there's a few useful values that we grow up, but embracing, but then we have to evaluate them and connect them to spirit, or they remain inactive and sterile. So this is a card that recognizes the fact that We live in a very noisy world, a world that clamors for our attention and tries to seduce us by distraction, and to a large degree succeeds, until we discover the mute button and then begin to use the practices of meditation to turn inward. And the greatest example of noise is, of course, the words we use. We believe, virtually everybody believes, that we use words to communicate with other people, with one another, with ourselves. And yet the true communication is found on the wavelength of love, and it's silent. The true communication of wisdom is on the wavelength of intuition, and it's silent. The true communication of peace and poise, harmony, beauty, all of these are on the wavelength of spirit, and they are silent. We eventually clothe them in words and musical phrases and artistic beauty, but it is the silence, the silent expression that carries the day. An example of this would be, I dare say, Mary, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but Mary teaches a group of slow learners. They're slow learners before they come to her, not after they. But I would venture to say that there's almost nothing that Mary can say to these children that will transform their lives. But the way in which she cares for them, leads them, opens up their imaginations, that is communicated to them silently. Is that a fair statement to make, Mary?
I think so. I think my presence, my acceptance of them.
Well, this is true of all teaching, all leadership, all legitimate communication. It's almost a cliche in our modern day and age that we're supposed to be free and open and tell people that we love them and whatnot. Well, love is expressed through the intuitive wavelength of forgiveness and compassion and benevolence, not through words. We can say things in words that have no meaning whatsoever. And so you look at any valuable, the great example of this is music, instrumental music, choral music does have words. Instrumental music has no words. And yet you can communicate tremendous thoughts through that wavelength. The proof of this is to communicate to a dog or a cat or a favored pet. Maybe not goldfish. I'm not sure how responsive they are. But while our cat Perry is very agreeable about appearing to respond to our spoken words, it's really the thought that he responds to. And that would be true of horses and dogs and whatnot. Any animal, any pet that can discern the love, the quality of love and caring that you have, that's what holds them magnetically. I mean, Perry has the total freedom to go out at any time he pleases and never come back. But time after time after time, he comes back, sometimes within 10 seconds. It's too damn cold out here. Let me in. It's warm in there. That all happens through the wavelength of silence. So we have to understand how important this is, that the well of silence is this inner reservoir, haven, whatever, nexus, intersection of spirit that enables us to act with power, wisdom, and creativity. It is the center of the ashram, for those of you who have any sense of contact with an ashram or an interplane group. It is there. In fact, DK is very eloquent in describing the three levels of ashramic participation. The center core is where all communication is done in silence. No words are spoken. That would correspond to the atmic level. The second is those people who aren't quite ready to trust. They still depend upon words, but they are able to respond, at least in part, to the silence of the inner core. And then the outer circle is those who are not yet able to respond to the silence, although they're on a proper wavelength, and they still rely entirely upon words. All right. So ultimately, what this describes is the three aspects of archetypal: force, meaning, purpose, meaning, and form or design. And so we have to learn as spiritual aspirants to practice silence and withdraw from the vanities of life, the distractions of life, and learn to focus ourselves in this well of silence, out of which all motivations, good insights, and directions emerge. They bubble up. All right. Let's see. That's card number one, and I've spent 20 minutes talking about that. This will only take 3 hours tonight. Because, of course, it's silent, so I have nothing to say. Now, it won't take that long. The second card, the counterpoint, is death. And we've seen his friendly face any number of times. Obviously, this is a symbolic meaning here, that this is a card of detachment, that it is a card that represents the death of our sense of ego. Going back to the Seven of Cups, we can say that one of the greatest sources of noise in our life is our own sense of pride and ego. We practice self-aggrandizement, self-advertisement. Hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm special. We think that our name must survive through our offspring and or our good, noble deeds and whatnot. All this is vanity, you see. It's all self-enlargement. But the enlargement of the little self, not the capital S self. So we have to detach. We have to detach from our painful memories. We have to detach from our doubts and our hesitations. We have to detach from and put to death the things of earth that are mere vanities to us, and learn to respond to the substantial presence of the divine in our life. We have to learn to discern that. This is one of the great dramas of human growth. So the law of silence is that silence must rule and govern us. We must be able to hold the secrets of the soul in our heart, and as we discover them, not go out and blab them from the hilltops, but incorporate them into our approach to life and let others learn about them from our example, not through our bragging about them. We have to detach from the temptation to argue and criticize and put other people down, which increases separation. There's so much that we have to detach from, and that's where death comes in. We put to death our old habits of fretting about life. One of the keys here is our very persistent habit of doubting ourselves. Having discovered the soul, we then proceed to engage in self-deprecation. I'm not worthy of the soul. Probably helped out a little bit by misguided Catholic theology, but that's one of those vanities and distractions here. Once you discover the soul and that you're cut from cosmic fabric, it is counterproductive to engage in self-doubt, self-criticism, self-deprecation. I'm not worthy. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you're not. We all find ourselves falling short because we're always pushing the edge, pushing the envelope to discover new dimensions of spirit. And at first we may fall short, but we have to have the confidence to proceed from the well of silence, that we're being guided and directed by a noble purpose and plan, and we shouldn't cavil and quail in the face of what life brings us. We keep in mind that one of the themes of 2013 is basically take life as it comes and learn to like it and get everything you can out of what comes to you. Don't worry about what might have happened, what could have happened, what should have happened, but focus on what is happening, because that's the real substance of life here. So the counterpoint is that we have the skill of death, detachment, to withdraw to suck out the life energy that we've invested in our attachments, our vanities, and draw that out so that they die. If we go around moaning and complaining and self-pity, our self-pity is of our own invention. People may have helped us from time to time, but it's largely of our own invention and our own determination to wallow in self-pity. So the law of silence requires us to withdraw our capacity to respond to everything that's unimportant in life, and focus it in the well of silence of the soul. And again, this is not a passive retreat. It is through the development of the law of silence at the spiritual level that we discover true activity, because we discover the root, the well of activity. All right, we come then to the third card, the Queen of Rods. This is in the position of the challenge. Queen of Rods is a very noble, statuesque figure, and she's got a rod, and she's got a big purple sunflower or something. And right down the center is that downward flow of energy straight down the spine, straight down the middle of her cloak. And of course, her hair also comes down in a braid parallel to that. But the major focus of the card tonight is a stream of energy straight from the head, straight from the crown, all the way down to the base of the card. And so this is the proper flow of force and wisdom into our life. If we can identify with the well of silence within us, the wisdom of the soul, we can then act from that point of governance, self-governance, that point of order. But until we do that, our energy will be dissipated in all those vanities of the Seven of Cups. So we want to establish this perfectly erect, direct flow of energy from the Queen of Rods' throat down to the bottom of the card, symbolized by that portion of her robe. That's the direct flow, the direct current of spiritual energy into her life, to seize opportunities, to act with wisdom, to heal, to express power and leadership. Now, this has a number of benefits, one of which is that through silence, we protect that which is dear to us. We don't throw our pearls before a swine. We give swine slop. We reserve the pearl, especially the pearl of great wisdom, for those who can benefit from it. And secondly, if we have established this basis of silence so that we're non-reactive to even to our own self-aggrandizement and self-pity and so on, our own self-advertisements, if we know who we are and what we're about, this protects us against all kinds of psychic mischief. Because psychic mischief comes in especially through all the little leaks and crevices that we maintain so that we can secretly go out and indulge a little bit of our vanity here and a little bit of our vanity there. And that's where these things come through, the cracks. And it's just a natural phenomenon of life that those vanities are going to try to reabsorb our attention at any point in time, and that's how psychic mischief works. So this is what we learn from the story of in Luke of the Nativity. Mary takes all these things and holds them in her heart. She doesn't go around and tell Joseph. She doesn't tell Aunt Elizabeth. She doesn't tell anybody what's in her heart. She holds them quiet. This is her secret. This is her, and she magnifies. All right. So this is the innermost well of silence where there are unspeakable truths of wisdom and love and joy. This doesn't mean that we don't share these things, but we share them through acts and achievements, not so much through words. And in fact, certainly not through noise. We don't go around adding noise to other people's lives. And so the work of detaching from the noise in our own life is first, but then it's followed by making sure we don't saddle other people with the same kind of noise. We don't use guilt trips. We don't manipulate people. We don't impose isms and schisms of our own on other people. We honor their individuality. We treat them fairly and honestly and above board. Okay, then we come to the fourth card, the card of purpose. This is the Page of Pentacles. Page of Pentacles is a big mass of confusion and a downward spiral of negativity. And this epitomizes the noisy life and the need for the spiritual aspirant. Keep in mind, the page is a novice, a beginner, just starting out on the spiritual path. And certainly the Page of Pentacles is the novice of all, being a pentacle. And this is the person who is fascinated by the downward flow. He learns that if he shouts fire in a crowded theater, everybody panics and responds, and he's caused all this mischief. This is the downward spiral of negativity. It's very similar to somebody who decides, I could become somebody important by walking into a crowded hospital or a school and killing 40 or 50 people with an automatic machine gun. Well, that's noise. It's a lot of noise. And it's a complete violation of the principle of silence. There's nothing creative coming from it. It's attention getting. Look at me, look at me. So the purpose here is to rescue us from this natural characteristic of the earth plane, where as we develop a sense of ego, we're blown away by it. It overwhelms us. It consumes all of the available time and energy we have to nurture it, to feed it, and it becomes exhausting. So we need a method to draw ourselves out of that downward spiral. Notice the immense contradiction between the Queen of Rods with that straight line of force from the throat down to the base of the card, and the Page of Pentacles, who is completely caught up in the downward spiral of negativity. Totally out of control, fed by his nascent thought and feeling, he uses the mind to justify whatever he wants to believe, justify his self-pity, justify his criticism of other people, justify silly notions, whatever. It's all an act of, look at me, and he's not looking within. Well, eventually you'll grow out of that. All right, then we come to the endowment, the card of justice. And we have, this is the endowment, this is a sense of balance. In fact, there's a balance scale here, as well as a sword. There's two sets of rods in the background, or groves of tree. And this is an angelic force, a divine force, the force of correctness. Now, again, we have the part of the noise of physical life is that almost everything's out of balance. And so we are most prone to make mistakes. We seldom get it right, especially the first time. And so we view justice as the correction of our mistakes. This itself is a big mistake. Justice is the expression of correctness, rightness, righteousness. It is not the correction of error. So we don't have to go around and make it our duty to eliminate all possible error on the physical plane. We work from the well of silence of divine justice. We let justice take care of error, because it's designed to do that. The principle of as you sow, so shall you reap. We don't have to go around scolding everybody for being mistaken and wrong. We simply focus on expressing righteousness as much as we can. So this is, and if you look at the scale here, the scale is a equilateral triangle. The two pans of the scale represent the opposite ends of the baseline, and then the balancing device that the goddess is holding represents the apex of the triangle, equilateral triangle. All right, so the apex of the triangle represents the well of silence, the inner pattern of divine law or archetype that reconciles the noise created as the, you know, rhinoceros sits on one side or the other and throws everything out of balance, like a rhinoceros on a seesaw, teeter-totter. Hard to balance that, except with an elephant. Okay, so this is the combination of the yin and the yang working back and forth to produce wholeness. Very important to understand this. If you see duality separate, you'll never understand it. It'll always be confusing. If you take the leap up to the apex and say, ah, it's the yin plus the yang, not the yin versus the yang, it's then you can achieve wholeness in your thinking and see that both of these forces complement one another, and each one needs the other to survive and grow and develop into wholeness. It's in that unification and wholeness that you discover the well of silence. In other words, the secrets of this equilibrium. The capacity to achieve equilibrium and express it in our life is what then gives us strength, the card of destiny. This is a divine force. Notice the lines in the background around his shoulders indicating incoming divine energy. And he has reproduced all the colors and patterns of himself in the dog. So this is the higher self replicating itself through resonance in the personality, the loyal, faithful pet, the personality. And the dog doesn't understand everything that the soul is doing. And that's unimportant. It's through the principle of silence, through the law of silence, the dog learns to bark only when the master tells him to bark. And to be responsive only to the voice of the master, not to little rabbits running across the field or mice or whatever, or cats. So we have here the ideal relationship, and out of that comes strength, the power of life, the true power to transform life originates in the silence of spirit. And if we're out there demanding that everybody else change, being an activist, a crusader for change, we're probably not harnessing that inner silence, that spiritual silence. We are simply contributing to the noise level. And so it's important to cultivate this inner dimension of silence and learn to use the law. The notion here is that the mind builds. Remember, the mind is the builder. The mind builds by controlling vibratory substance, by controlling physical, emotional, and mental substance. If we are controlled by our emotions and our thoughts and our physical addictions, we can't think clearly. Silence is the ability to control our thoughts and our creative process. There are a lot of people in this world that think that they have no capacity to control the thoughts that wander through their minds. This is a complete inversion of reality. Of course we have the capacity to choose what to allow to occur in our mind. We have the capacity to harmonize discordant thoughts. We have the capacity to neutralize doubts and self-criticism. We have the capacity to do all things. The soul has this ability. But not if we believe the noise of the world. So this is what esoterically is referred to as the silence of the inner circle. The silence of the inner ashram. Okay, I'm going to pause for a moment here. And now that we've completed the first six cards, entertain any comments or questions before I move on to the pillar of revelation. Any comments or questions? Anybody? I'm not quite sure what it is, but somebody out there, there's a sound that sounds like somebody's panting. Well, all right, I guess. Nobody has any comments or questions so far before we go into the pillar of revelation?
Now, Carl, over the weekend, I was reading from the hierarchy, the externalization hierarchy, and then I opened up a little bit that something for discipleship, whatever that book is. But in one of those, it was talking about the communication, as you alluded to before, that DK was saying, you know, he's in contact with any of his disciples basically through their energy, their light, nothing to do with the personality, nothing about anything the personality would desire or want or understand. and that the communication on the higher level, you know, is totally, as you said, it's without words. It's
right. Exactly. And the bottom line here is that we think, well, why can't the personality be privy to this? Well, the personality can be, but the personality has to train itself in perfect silence, has to learn to focus the mind so that it achieves that well of, it identifies with that well of silence into which these ideas can be poured. Until the personality learns that, there's very little the soul can do. Oh, the soul can occasionally send an idea down in and blast through all your nonsense and get the idea through with minimal distortion. But it's up to the personality to train itself in carrying these ideas down from the unconscious level into the conscious awareness. And this is something that is not a question of fairness or unfairness or anything. It's the way life is designed. It's the way the personality learns to be magnetically lifted up into spirit, where it can work with these unspoken forces, noiseless forces, silent forces. Many of you have probably read enough in the blue books to, or heard me talk about it, to know that the process of in-breathing prana is you breathe in, you hold it, you breathe out, and then you pause, and then you start the whole cycle over again. Usually the in-breath is 6 counts, the pausing in silence is 8 counts, the exhalation is 6 counts, and the interval in between is 4 counts. And so the important part of this is that moment of silence, the 8-count moment of silence, in which you're absorbing the content of the prana, the content of the guidance, the content of the love and whatnot, and absorbing it into your system. So this is the dynamic, active use of silence to harness power, to harness insight, to harness transformation. It is the imperative underlying skill of healing, of creativity, of leadership, as you learn to magnify in the silence the energy that you're seeking to contact. Okay, any other comments or questions? Well, let's go on then. I'm going to mute. We're going to look at the Pillar of Revelation. The Pillar of Revelation starts with the Four of Rods in the position of the real question. And the Four of Rods, we've seen this a number of times. This has appeared in the session on inevitability and on attraction. Four of Rods is a vision of heaven, a vision for those esoterically inclined of the ashram, the place in which total silence, the well of silence, exists. And so apparently a card of complete peace. And what it suggests, since it's in the position of the real question, it suggests that the real question is, what is the ideal? Not what is the noise, not what is making the noise, but what is the ideal? What is the ideal that harmonizes the two extremes along the baseline? And that ideal is an energy. It's not enough to be able to say God is love. We have to be able to express God's love. That means we translate the actual spiritual energy of God's love into our own expressions of love. our own expressions of grace, our own expressions of wisdom, our own expressions of light. It's not enough to be able to talk literally about these things. The real question is, can we tap and harness this spiritual energy? And being able to speak eloquently about it counts for very little. Being able to do it counts for everything. And in this context, then, the ability to focus ourselves in this inner nexus, this inner intersection of power, love, and light, we can discover whatever it is that we need. And then we need to develop the skills of applying it in our life. So that's the real question. What's the ideal? Another way of putting that would be, what does the soul expect me to do? This card is, let's look at life from the perspective of the soul, or the perspective of the ashram, for those of you who reach that point of view. Not what do I want done, but what the divine design is. Thy will, O God, be done. All right, not as a passive, but simply, all right, if I'm going to do this, it's like when I teach the basic course and I'm talking about prayer. If you're praying to the soul or to God, ask for something that the soul is interested in giving you or that God has already decided to do. Don't ask for the impossible. That's a short route to disappointment. Ask for something in harmony with, you know, ask for love. God's delighted to shower you with love if you deserve it, if you can make the contact. So ask for what your own soul wants you to have and work with. What's the ideal? Okay, then we come to the second card, which is in the Pillar of Revelation, which is Hidden Forces, Unseen Factors. And this is the Seven of Swords. Now, this is the only sword in the spread. It's a fellow wearing a lot of conflict on his back. He's shouldering much of the conflict and agony of the world and dragging it along with him. And he's got five swords over his shoulder, focusing down to a point and two left behind. So he's focusing his energies. He's not trying to do everything. He's focusing on what the opportunities of life call upon him. We should view the events and activities of life as our laboratory. This is where, again, we detach. We stop thinking about, oh God, why is God punishing me this way? What have I done to deserve this terrible turn of events? We should assume that the correct interpretation is, what can I do with this? This is what life has brought to me. It's what I have brought to life. Now, what am I going to make out of it? What is my creative opportunity? What can I add from my repertoire of spiritual forces? What can I add to this situation to transform it? How can I rise above the mundane to a deeper level of understanding here? What is the focus to be? Now, we're coming to a tremendous insight here, and that is that the law of silence is what lets us focus on spirit. As long as we're distracted by the noise and vanities of the world, including our own pride and vanity, our self-importance, all we can do is focus on that. Our focus is frozen by our susceptibility to distortion and glamour. The moment we realize that we can always withdraw from those distortions and focus in silence and listen for the very quiet but forceful presence of the soul, presence of the Christ, presence of the Father, and learn to pause and listen for that and respond to it, then we understand the ability of the mind to focus on spirit. We don't focus on spirit when we're dithering about our bad health or dithering about this or worrying about the fiscal cliff or this, that, or the other thing. We want to learn to take life in stride and see the events that happen to us as the very best way that we can expend our energy right now in our life, whatever it is. And so given that, then we learn to create a nexus or an inner point within the well of silence that creates the ability to act. It's like the tip of the vortex in our invocation. See, the tip is way down here at the bottom of the card where all those swords come together. But if we can learn to focus our attention in the tip of the vortex, then we have this tremendous power, the tremendous abundance of life. The life is designed to provide us with whatever we need. Now, think about this, because this explains, not that I can reproduce it, but it explains, theoretically, the miracles of turning water into wine and feeding the masses with six fish and four bushel baskets of bread and having all kinds of fish sticks left over. It explains these things because he was, the Christ, in a superlative way, was able to focus in the vortex of his need of providence, and all of this life more abundant came pouring through into the physical plane. Now, in essence, we're all designed to be able to do this, except that we allow our distractions to get in our way. We let our vanities, our beliefs in the finite world, our objection to this, that, and the other thing. We let all these conditions get in our way, our ill health, whatever it is, and we aren't able to sustain that focus in the vortex, in the tip of the vortex. This is where the law of silence, the ability to identify with the well of silence, gives us mastery over power, opportunity, and wisdom. And that gives us virtually every tool we need to do whatever needs to be done. So this is the importance of focus. Then we come to the spiritual ideal and the tower, which we've been seeing an awful lot of lately. The tower is the ability to apply this divine power on earth. It's the ability of the soul to stimulate the tower, the mind, the rod, and set it on fire. Not to burn it down, but to burn it up, so that the mind is this fiery wick of enlightenment. And whatever we do, we're able to use it to calm the waves, to stimulate our life, to generate opportunities as we need to. In fact, the relevance of the law of silence to generating opportunities is immense. As I was reading about the few comments that the Tibetan has about the law of silence in the various books today, he made it very clear that many opportunities fail to manifest because people have not maintained silence long enough. They have not preserved the protective shield of silence long enough. And they've gone and blabbed about this or talked about that or cheapened the opportunity. And so the opportunity goes away. They don't understand it. This is part of the power of the mind, is to link the soul, the wisdom of the soul with the needs of personality, so that the will of the soul is expressed. And this is pretty much the bottom line here of the law of silence. It is silence that preserves the work we're doing, the spiritual octave of the work we're doing. And that's far more important than the physical appearance of the work. That we need to understand that the real power of any accomplishment wells up from within almost magically and then takes manifestation on the physical plane. And that which was never here before suddenly is here. A cure for cancer seems to be elusive. When it arrives, it'll be like we've always had. And that's the way spirit works into life. There's suddenly a burst, an inburst into our life. And spirit takes form, takes control, when we have calmed down and silenced the outer noise. And all that is left is the Om, forcefully moving into our life. Then we come to the culmination, the Ace of Pentacles. The Ace of Pentacles is the ideal of productivity. It is it magnifies, it bookends the pillar of revelation with the Four of Rods. The Four of Rods talks about the ashram and the inner haven of that we call heaven. And the Ace of Pentacles is the ideal of heaven brought to earth. So through the law of silence and the correct working out of it and understanding it in so many other dimensions than what I've been able to talk about tonight in this one examination, understanding all the nuances of silence and its importance, its absolute importance as the active ingredient in making things happen, making the right things happen, then we become a magician on earth. We become able to express spiritual force on earth. And sometimes that's as simple as just quietly, silently maintaining faith that your efforts to care for a sick relative will help them recover. And they do. Or that there is a solution. I'm reminded of the Helen Keller story, where at the age of 19 months, she was struck by a rare illness and was left blind and deaf and dumb, seemingly beyond communication. And her parents didn't know how to handle it, and she adopted some pretty nasty attitudes and habits. But through prayer and a persistent hope and expectation, they found, made contact with Annie Sullivan, who came in and worked patiently. And you know this was silent communication, because there was no way she could hear anything. And yet Annie Sullivan found a way to communicate to Helen Keller and open up Helen Keller's very vibrant, highly attuned mind. And she was able to overcome all the obstacles that we take for granted and develop her mind and learn to focus it. That's the power of silence. Okay, I'm going to end here and entertain any comments, questions about the law of silence and its importance. Questions and comments?
This was... Oh, an amazing reading. It seems that I can just almost—it's almost palpable the how active and how dynamic silence is. And it seems that this is the point. And I don't know if tell me if I'm wrong, but where you're—it's true companionship with the soul. To me, this would be true creativity, and where you are a co-creator.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. It's the epitome of companionship with the soul and the Father. And there's tremendous power there. But it's not a passive, regressive silence. It's a very active, dynamic, creative, productive expression of power and authority. And it's we seize control. We meaning we allow the soul to act through us. And that's the rightful culmination of human growth. The soul begins to take control of the personality and act through it. That's what we see in the strength. The strength card is the absolute perfect card here because it not only talks about divine strength and power, but the perfect relationship between the soul and the personality. Other comments or questions? Well, that's it for tonight. I thank you all. And, go forth in silence. And I hope everybody finds a way, everybody who can finds a way to join us tomorrow for our Thinking Out Loud person or via GoToMeeting. Till the next time, thank you and good night.